Today, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I will hear and apply a truth to my life that I may be transformed into His image. I'm going to ask you if you will turn on the side that says love God. What we're going to do today is talk to you about some changes that are happening here in our fellowship. And the message is entitled Casting the Vision. And I want to try to make the vision of our fellowship as clear and as plain to you as possible. Number one, the number one vision is to love God. Number two, to love one another. And number three, to enjoy God and one another. One, two, and three. I tried to keep it simple and down to just 3 points. Let's talk about number one. To develop and maintain an atmosphere, both corporate and individually, which will allow the person of the Holy Spirit to show us the Father. The number one purpose of us as a fellowship, as Jesus said, the greatest commandment is to love God and then to love one another. And the driving desire of my heart is to see God. I've been in church all of my life. I've had goosebumps. I've had hair stand up on the back of my neck. I've had my stomach up in knots. You know, I've seen people slain in the spirit. I've been physically healed by the power of God. I'm not downplaying any of those things. I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about my spiritual eyes being open to see a very real God. I'm talking about the kind of experience that Moses encountered with God when in the desert, in the Holy of Holies, God Himself would appear between the wings of the cherubim and He would call out to Moses and say, Moses, come in here where I am. That's what I'm, and I want to be very clear about this. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a corporate service, and I'm talking about an individual lifestyle where we live not just in the awareness of the presence of God, but that we are living, seeing God, experiencing God, walking with God day by day. Number two, to pursue with all of our mind, soul, and strength an excellence in worship whereby we can enter into and experience the presence of God. You see, this one is the pathway to the first one. Notice the word there, please, is excellence in worship, not perfection in worship. Okay? Excellence is defined this way. Doing what you can do to the best of your ability. Doing what you can do to the best of your ability. That's how I define excellence. Okay? So what I'm saying here then is in this excellence in ministry is that whatever God gives us to work with, as far as being able to have tools to worship Him, we will use every tool to the best of our ability. Okay? It may not be as big and as grand as other places. It may be better than some. But we're not comparing ourselves among ourselves. We're using what God has given us to be the very best that we can be. And then number three, to maintain a culture of belief that the Scriptures are the final authority on all matters. Yes. And is truth without error, and the standard by which all things are judged. This is why I wanted to put this in here for this particular reason. Because I have had people abuse the line of, well, I love God, and so because I love God and God loves me, I can live in sin. Okay? That's not true. Just because you love God and God loves you doesn't give you license to live in sin. And so that's why I put in this third clarification of what does it mean to love God, is that the final authority on all matters is the Word of God. Not Charlie's preference, not my preference, not your opinion, not the way you've always done it, or the way I've always done it, or the way my grandmother said it should be done. Those things are not the final authority. The Scripture is the final authority on all matters. The Scripture is truth without error. From where it says in the beginning to all the way down to where it says amen, the Scripture is without error. Any place where we think the Bible might be wrong, we just misunderstood what it was the Bible was saying. Okay? And it is the standard, the Scriptures are the standard by which all things are judged. Whether something is right, whether something is wrong, whether something is correct, whether something is incorrect, is not based on preference or personality or opinion, but is based in that which is without error, which is the Spirit of, which is the Word, the written Word of God. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, that the Holy Scriptures are exactly that. They are the Holy Scriptures. Now, I'm not going to argue that point with people who want to talk about, well, it was written by man and all. Okay, so what? I don't care. Okay? I am willing to risk my life and my eternity on the belief that the Bible is the inerrant Word of God. It is what judges me. It is what judges you. And it is the final authority on all things. Amen. You with me? Okay, so those three points are sort of a clarification of what I mean when I say that vision number one is to love God. Vision number two, to love one another. To create and maintain a culture of acceptance where all feel free to express and live out their doubts and victories. Now, here's, this line was put in because of a recent battle that I have been through. If you come I was talking to someone recently who was concerned about someone else that they love. Because this second person had said to this first person, I'm not sure I believe in God. So person number one begins to freak out a little bit. Oh, you need to believe in God. So they called me up and they said, this person that I'm concerned about said they don't believe in God. I said, good. And the first person went, huh. Because at least we're at a point of honesty now. We're not just sitting around saying, I think I believe, or I don't want anybody to know I don't believe. But we have created a culture and an atmosphere where if you don't believe, that's fine. If you don't think God is big enough to get you through what you're going through, that's fine. If you don't think that God is all in all, that's fine. Because it's in the reality of dealing with the truth that is in our lives that we position ourselves for the person of the Holy Spirit to take us to the truth. But you see, as long as we're living in a lie, there isn't anything God can do with a lie. But God can do everything with the truth. And so corporately as well as individually, I want to create an atmosphere in the church where not only are you free to express your doubts, but you're also free to express your victories. God is good. God did take care of me. God is restoring my family. See? But whatever doubts I may have, I want to feel free to express those doubts. Whatever victories God accomplishes in my life, I want to feel free to express those victories. And I don't want to feel like that if I express a doubt, that you will reject me because of my doubt. Right. And so we love God, number one, and then we love one another even in the midst of our doubts, of our fears, of our apprehensions, of our shortcomings. Pastor, you know, I'm really trying to do better, but I had a difficult week last week and I fell flat on my face. Great. What you going to do this week? What you going to do this week? What you going to do today? Let's pick you up. Let's go at it again. Let's go one more time. Okay? But I know that if I say to you, I didn't have a good week, that you're not going to go, shame on you. You know? But you're going to reach out and you're going to hug me. You're going to help me have the strength on the inside of me that says, it's okay that you failed. Now let's pick up. It's not okay that you fail and you stay in your failure. But it's okay to fail and express that failure and move on from that. Number two, to create a non-judgmental and non-religious atmosphere where all feel free to be changed by the Holy Spirit. In other words, I put this in here because of this. It's not my job to change you, not your job to change me. Now, can I change you? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can. I can put enough pressure on you that you will do the right thing. But that is short-term and temporal. The only, and please hear me here, guys, because this is at the very core of what I believe. The only lasting, real change is done by the person of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to say that one more time. The only lasting, real change is done by the person of the Holy Spirit. And so, corporately, I want to create a non-judgmental, non-religious atmosphere where people who are in need of change feel free to be changed by the person of the Holy Spirit. Any questions on number two? Number three, to enjoy God and one another, to hold to the truth that God is for us and His thoughts towards us is to bless and not curse, that the chief end of man is to enjoy God both now and forever. Amen. In other words, what I am trying to relate to you here is this. Is that God is not a taskmaster waiting with some kind of a stick for you to make a mistake so He can thump you on the head and go, I knew you were going to do that. Mm-hmm. Okay? But that God so loved this world that even in the midst of our sin, and before we were ever even conceived in our mother's womb, God created a path for you and I to be able to get back to Him. In fact, that leads me to create an attitude of acceptance towards others. Why do I accept you? Because it is grounded in the belief that God so loved that He gave, and that our value as humans is found in the conviction that Jesus died for us. In other words, Judy, here's what I'm trying to say here. And I'm just picking on you, Judy, okay? Because I know you love me and I can. Let's say that Judy gets on my nerves. I just hate it when she walks in the room and I just can't hardly stand to be around her. But the truth of the matter is that I see value in Judy because Jesus sees value in Judy. Amen. Well, how do you know Jesus sees value in Judy? Because Jesus died for Judy. So when we had a person who came here for years, who sometimes would come to church, and this particular person would be unshaven and clean and drunk as a skunk. Walked in the church, drunk as he could be. And guess what I said to him? I am so happy to see you. Because even in his inebriated state, he is of value to the kingdom because Jesus died for him right where he is. And see, it's not my job to judge. It's my job to love. And my vision is I'm going to love God first. And then I'm going to love you second. And I'm going to create an atmosphere where if you are high, or if you are drunk, or if you are in pain, or if you did sleep under the bridge, or if you just walked out of a house where the carpet was so deep it was up to your knees, doesn't make any difference to me if you got money, don't got money, got prestige, don't have a prestige. Doesn't make any difference if your address is, you know, Third Street under the bridge or Ballantyne. doesn't make any difference. The only value you have is not because of your zip code. The value is because Jesus died at you at this place right here. That's why you have value. And outside of that, none of us have any value. Arthur W. Pink taught me that. Outside of that, we have no value. But inside of that, we are of all value. And here's the thing, guys, and this is what I want to try to teach us, is that we're all of equal value. Well, you're the preacher, you're more valuable than I am. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. Each of us shares equal value in the kingdom. God doesn't love one more than He loves another. He loves us all the same. And so, what I am endeavoring to do today then is to share with you and to articulate and to put into writing what my attitude is towards the vision for my own life individually, and then consequently towards the vision of us as a church corporately. All righty? Anyone have a question? Flip your piece of paper over. And what I want to do here is I want to say, okay, Don, if this is the vision, how is it that the things you do, how do they tie into that vision? Okay? Why do you do things in church the way you do them? So what I did was, as I made a list of the things that we do in church, okay? So I get here a little bit after 8 o'clock in the morning, and I start setting stuff up, and I run off the announcement sheets and all that kind of thing. And about 20 minutes before service time, which, by the way, service time is 10 o'clock. About 20 minutes before service time, I come in and I start something called a flip chart. Okay? Now, the reason why I do the flip chart, and it is a very time-consuming thing that I have to do each month, but the reason I see value in it is because people who are coming to church, who are what we call visitors, okay? This gives them an opportunity to visually be involved in discovering what the church is about. Okay? And so we list things like the sermon titles that are up and birthdays that are coming up and events that are important to the church. And one of the slides is always entitled every month, Jesus is God. One of the slides is, because when a visitor comes, I want them to know that that's exactly who we consider God to be, is Jesus. Okay? And there's always some kind of a verse there that refers to the fact, because you tie that back to the vision, there's a verse that declares that Jesus is God, because the verse comes out of the Bible, and the Bible is without error. Amen. See? And so that's how I'm tying all of that together, is an attempt to help someone who is new to the church to feel more comfortable with what the church stands for and what's going on in the fellowship. And then at 5 minutes to 10, I come in and I start something called the countdown video. And the countdown videos are always 5 minutes long. And what they are is an attempt on my part to say we are within this amount of time right here from starting the worship service. Okay? And that's what that's for. So that you can, instead of looking, everybody having a watch and all of our watches being different, you can look down the hallway, look up here on the board, and know that we're 2 minutes away from service time, or we're 4 minutes away from service time, or we're 5 seconds away from service time. Because when that clock runs out, I'm getting ready to start worship service. All righty? And what I'm trying to do is to get you to buy into the vision where I don't have to go down the hall and say, church is starting. But you are so excited about being here and entering into an excellence in worship that you're coming in going, man, you haven't even started the countdown clock yet? Isn't it time? Don't we need to be getting started? I want to hear that kind of talk at 9:45. You see what I'm saying? Where we are all moving in the same direction. Okay? Then I have welcome videos. This is what I want you to understand. Granted, we've all heard the welcome videos. Okay? But the welcome videos are not for us. They are a welcome for the person who hasn't heard them. Okay? And so what we're doing is that we are excited enough about being here that we are getting together and we're getting all of our conversations out of the way and we're saying all of our hays and highs and all that kind of thing, which is good and fine. But when it's time for service to start, we are going back to the vision of loving one another and loving others. And we want you to know you are welcome here. That this is a place of not religion, but of a relationship with Jesus. That this is a place, what does that guy say? That people who don't go to church are not the enemy. You see what I'm saying? I am endeavoring to communicate to someone who's never been here before that they are welcome here just as they are. In fact, the more recent welcome video of the guy who looks like he's in the warehouse, okay? And he makes the statement, you may have a landfill of guilt. And how many of you know a lot of people do? But you are welcome here. This is the initial invitation that no matter what kind of fears, no what kind of apprehensions, no matter what kind of week you're having, no matter what kind of mourning you're having, there is a place where you are welcome. Just as I am, but with only one plea, and the plea is this, that your blood was shed for me. Everybody's welcome. Okay? All right, that's why we do the welcome videos. But my problem is that if you're talking during the welcome videos, you distract from the people that I'm trying to talk to. Because the welcome video is the pastor's initial invitation that all are welcome. Then we go to the announcements, and the purpose in the announcements is to, and I really hate announcements, I wish we didn't have to have them, but it is the opportunity for us to be able to keep each other informed, you know, things that are coming up and church business kind of things. After the announcements.
So the welcome videos is actually when service has started.
Service starts, thank you very much. Service starts with the welcome videos. That is the beginning of service. That's when we all should be in our places with sunshiny faces. Okay? At that moment, we should be there. All righty? Notice also then that at the end of announcements, what I say to you is, I want to give you a chance for you all to speak to each other. Back to point number two of the vision. Okay? Is I want you, because we do have a tendency to not show up at 10 o'clock like we should. Okay, now, and people can say what they want to say, but let me tell you this. When my mom and dad were raising me, one of the things that they taught us is that you're never late for a wedding. And it's funny how in our culture, we'll show up on time for a wedding, and do you know why you're not late for a wedding? Because it's disrespectful to the bride to show up late for the wedding. Because you distract from the wedding ceremony when they're having to wait to seat you before they can bring the bride in, because on the wedding day, the bride is supposed to be the focus of the day. Take that self-same thought and let's take it over to church. When you show up late for church, you are being disrespectful to all of the rest of the bride. That's what you are. See, and so we make ourselves, advertently or inadvertently, we make ourselves the center of attention because when we come in late, everybody looks to see who's coming in. And we take our focus off what it is we're supposed to be focused on. So yes, the welcome video is not the call to worship, it is the start of our worship service. Then at the end of the announcements, one of the things I've endeavored to do is to give you an opportunity, though, to be able to speak to each other, to go back to point two of the vision, be point three, to enjoy each other. Okay? Because I'm going to tell you something. I like seeing you. I'm glad you're here. I like having an opportunity to be able to speak to you on Sundays. Okay? It hurts me to not be here on those opportunities when I'm not here. Okay? So then we enter into the prayer and praise, okay? Now, I will grant you that you know, our current worship method is not what I would like for it to be. I'd love to have a 500-voice choir and 100-voice orchestra or 100-instrument orchestra. That's what I'd love to have. But what I am doing is the very best I can with what it is I have to work with. What disturbs me, though, is if we are continuing to talk after worship starts, what we're saying is, God, what I got to say right this minute is more important than focusing on you. And I'm just going to tell you right now, nothing you have to say is more important than worshiping God. Nothing you have to say. And if it is that important, then show up way before worship and get it off. Then get it said. Is that fair enough? That when the music starts, everybody clicks off and focuses all in the same direction. That gets back to point number one, to create an excellence in worship. I want you to notice with me, please, ladies and gentlemen, that the number one vision is to love God. And I'm not trying to be ugly here, but I just want you to know what the future holds. If you think you're more important than God, I'm going to chop your head off. Because that's exactly right. Because you're stopping me from my vision. And nothing's going to stand between me and my vision. And we have had, and you know, I could call some names and I won't. But we have had some people who thought they were more important than the rest of you or worship or whatever. And those people are no longer here. And some of those people have left on their own. And some, I have a recent... Lee said to someone, don't come back to this church unless you can behave. And they said, I don't think I'm misbehaving. I said, I'm the man in the house, and I'm telling you, you are misbehaving. So we're going to do it my way, not your way. Now, I realize that in an American culture that we live in, it's like, well, who do you think you are? I'm just going to tell you who I am. I'm not the man who raised my hand and said, I'll take your place, Dad. I'm the guy who was sitting at a trailer lot in Albemarle, North Carolina, when my daddy pulled up and went into my office and said, you need to come stop doing this and you need to come start doing this. Where I'm sitting today is not a position I sought. It's a position that sought me. Under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to love you, and I will extend myself as far as I can, and I will wait until the last minute to tell you don't come back. But if you're not, if you're going to push your agenda rather than our corporate agenda, yes, you got to go.
That's right.
Because I will not sacrifice the whole for a one.
That's right.
Because there was a one that was sacrificed for us all.
Yes.
Excellence in worship. Oh, I'm sorry. I jumped too soon. After the announcements comes the prayer and praise. That is to give you an opportunity to, I see, I don't mean this. Something ran through my head and I thought, that's not exactly the way you want to say this. But I can't figure out how to say it other than this. Prayer and praise after the announcements is an opportunity for you to relieve yourself. Okay, that's not what I mean, but that's what I mean. That if you've got something exciting that you want to share, I want to give you an opportunity to share it. That if you've got something that's, you know, Pastor, you know, my favorite uncle had a heart attack, and that's what's on your heart, I want you to be able to share that with us corporately, okay? So whether or not you need to relieve yourself because you've got something you're excited about, God's been really good to me this week. God's been really good to me this week. I see Him restoring my family. That's the kind of thing that as a corporate worship, we want to rejoice with you in that. Okay, but if it's, you know, my daddy wants to make sure he makes Thanksgiving or Christmas, that he wants to make sure he makes Thanksgiving, but his health is not real good, I not only want to know yours that's good, I want to know yours that's a concern on your part. I didn't say it was bad. I said a concern on your part. And so that's where our prayer and praise comes in, so that what we can do is we can get that out of ourselves. So that when we enter into worship, I'm not thinking about my family and I'm not thinking about my daddy. I'm thinking about Him who gave Himself for me. And that's the reason why I do what it is I do. So I do the announcement so that you'll be informed. Then I give you an opportunity to address us as family. This is what makes me happy. This is what makes me sad. Okay? Then I give you an opportunity to speak to each other, and then we have worship. At the end of worship is when we do our tithes and offerings. Now, guys, here's what I want you to understand. We do not take up tithes and offerings in order to pay the bills. We pay the bills with the tithes and offerings we take up. I'm going to say that again. We do not take up tithes and offerings in order to pay the bills. We pay the bills with the tithes and offerings we take up. Well then, Pastor, why do you take up tithes and offerings? Because God said we should, and it is a continuation of our worship. Because money is a representation of who we are. And so not only do we bring our hearts and our hands and our minds and our attentions and our souls and our spirits to God in worship, we also bring that tangible something that, my boss has given me in exchange for my time. I bring that as a part of my offering. Excuse me. I bring that as a part of my worship. And so it isn't that worship time ends and now we take the offering. It's that worship time is, the offering is actually a part of the worship time. You follow me? Then we have a message that gets back to, number one, the inerrant word of God. Because it is God's word that changes us. It is God's word that helps us to grow and to mature and to understand what it is God wants. And then at the end of that, is an opportunity for response. Now, I understand that I do it differently than from others. And I will tell you that it could very well be an overreaction on my part. But through most of my ministry life, I have found that most preachers identify success and lack of success by how people respond to a message. You know, we had a great Sunday. 3 people came forward. Okay, I don't care if 300 came forward. The question is, did you say what God wanted you to say? And so when I get through preaching, if I feel that what I have said is what was on God's heart for us as a fellowship, as far as I'm concerned, we've had a successful day. There are times when we do have an altar call. Okay, but I don't even know how many of you are familiar with altar calls in churches are a relatively new thing. They are less than 100 years old. And the reason why there is an altar call is because, was it Spurgeon? No. Yeah, was it Spurgeon? And he was preaching in Chicago and there was a Chicago fire. Was that Spurgeon?
Yeah.
Okay. When Spurgeon was pastoring a church, he never gave an altar call. And then when the fire in the early 1900s that burnt down like 3/4 of 75% of Chicago happened, Spurgeon was so convicted that he had not given an altar call the week before that some people did die in that Chicago fire, that he swung the pendulum all the other way of, I will never have another service that I don't give an altar call. And then, you know, the Baptist and the Methodist and the Presbyterians who all follow Spurgeon's thinking and theology, they all adapted that same mentality, okay? But it was only after the Chicago fire of the early 1900s that altar calls even became popular in America at all, okay? So it's not, Jesus didn't give altar calls, you know? He just walked up without a sermon and said, you follow me. And the word worked. Exactly. And that's exactly what I endeavor to do on Sundays, is let the word work. Okay? Now, I do invite my elders, and that's another change we're getting ready to let you know about. I do invite my elders to be here in case you want someone to pray with you. One of the reasons why I ask the elders to do it rather than me doing it is because people have this idea that if I can get the preacher to pray for me, it holds more clout with God than if I can get Charlie to pray for me. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to get me to pray or Charlie to pray, your better bet's Charlie. Okay? Because if anybody's got clout, it's him over me. But I endeavor to try to get away from that idea that many people have if the preacher prays, God pays more attention than if Charlie prays or Teresa prays. Okay? That is not true. All righty? So let's just get that out in the open. That is not true. So the elders are always available for ministry. They're always available for prayer at the end of service. And I'm available to you too, okay? But I just want you to understand that they're your first line of defense, okay? Because I do have a lot of other responsibilities I have to take care of before service, after service, and all those kinds of things, okay? Yes, Charlie. Huh? And it is the word. If there be any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. All righty? Now, any questions on any of that? Why we do what we do on Sunday mornings? Any questions, comments, anything else you want to ask about? Okay. I want to tell you this morning that these three people here represent our current eldership. Wes is no longer an elder. He's asked to be relieved of that responsibility because of other things he's got going on in his life right now. And Mike Jolly is not an elder either. These three people right here represent the eldership in our church. And for those of you who are relatively new, we came out of a Baptist background. But one of the things we learned there is that God doesn't run a church by committee. For God so loved the world, he didn't send a committee. And so the elders do not run the church. What they act as is a better way to put it, is they act as an advisory for the pastor, because once again, the scripture says that there's wisdom in the counsel of many, okay? And so they act as an advisory. So anytime I'm wanting to do something, if I want to spend some money for something, if I want to make a change of some kind or something like that, I bring it to those guys and I say, what do you think? Okay? And then they add to the idea that of whatever the vision is that I have, they add to that idea and we move forward with it. So that is what their responsibility is here in the fellowship. And then of course, everybody knows my girlfriend. You know, it's much more convenient when your girlfriend and your wife is the same person. It causes less confusion, you know, and you only have to remember one name and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So it's really very economical and, you know, and much more convenient if I do it that way.
But it makes it twice as hard for her.
Well, but that's not my problem, that it's twice as hard for her, yeah, that she has to fill both of those roles.
I'm just checking,
right. I just consider it to be a blessing on her part. And don't I, honey? Yes, I do. And then, of course, Pastor Jim is the man who started this fellowship, you know, almost 40 years ago now. Of course, that's my mom, his wife next to him. And so that's why, you know, although Pastor Jim doesn't have any active role or mom at this particular time, they still represent the heritage of our fellowship, okay, and the lineage, and Papa, right, they still represent the lineage. Most of you know the nice guy. That's how I referred to him. Sit down. Not you, the other nice guy. That's how I referred to you when you, did you know you were being talked about in that tape when you heard the tape last week? I know, the nice guy will be here next week, but this week the mean guy's here. Mike and I have been in fellowship with each other for almost 10 years. And Mike used to be my pastor back before I became the pastor here. But the announcement that we want to make to you today is this. Mike and I and the elders have reached an agreement where Mike is going to officially, as of today, assume responsibility here at the fellowship as an associate pastor. Yay! The first question everybody asks is can we afford it? And the answer is that if we're doing what God wants us to do, we can't afford not to do it. Okay? Mike is in a position right now where we've got some time to be able to work on some things, and so we will be doing that in the financial area. But between now and then, we're going to go ahead and make this proclamation and this establishment. He's going to move in and establish an office in Pastor Jim's old office, which is the room right here. He'll do that probably starting Saturday. Get in there and start cleaning. We'll move a desk in there and some things like that. Mike is going to be here at the church on Mondays and Wednesdays. I want to give you a phone number. Would everyone write this number down, please? 704-288-1293. 1293. If you dial that number and Mike doesn't answer, you will hear a recording that says, thank you for calling Lamplight Church. Okay? Please leave your message and I'll return the phone call. If you leave a message, it will automatically be forwarded to Mike's cell phone. Okay? For those of you who are all concerned about the money, let me say this. This is actually a Google number, and it doesn't cost us anything. Okay? He'll get a text. What Google does is it takes your voice and then turns it into text, and then it texts his phone with a text message that says, you know, Don called you, and this is what he said. But the service is free, and so this will be a new church number for you to be able to use. And starting next week, our announcements will have this, our handouts will have it, and it will also be on the flip chart. So if you're needing to get in touch with Mike to make an appointment to come by either on a Monday or a Wednesday to visit with him and seek pastoral counseling, that is the number that you call in order to be able to do that. So when you asked me this week for Mike's number, this is why I didn't give it to you, because I was going to give it to you today and let you know that this is a number where you can reach him. Mondays and Wednesdays, he'll be here in that office for counseling. Now, let me say this, guys. Huh? Why do you ask me that? Because it's a good question, isn't it? Yeah, because inquiring minds want to know. I don't know that we talked about it.
I would say on Mondays probably from 9 to 5, and on Wednesdays just depending on what you say.
Okay, yeah. Okay, 9 to 5 on Mondays, and then I've got another exciting announcement I want to make to you in just a minute. Good question. I'm just picking on you because you're Teresa. Right. So where was I going with all that? Oh, guys, Mike will not be involved in benevolence. Okay, so I'm not going to give him a key to the lighthouse. He doesn't have the authority to write checks, you know, anything like that. Benevolence is handled by the elders, specifically by Bryce, but it is handled by the elders, and it's on Sundays only. Okay, so there won't be any benevolence issues that will be handled by him. What we want to do on Wednesday is this. Wednesdays will be another day when Mike will be available for pastoral counseling. But if there is an interest, we are willing to consider a Wednesday morning prayer meeting and or a Wednesday night Bible study. All we're looking for is a minimum of 5 people who will say, you know, yes, I will be there. Now, we understand that, you know, if only 5 write down their names, that maybe a Wednesday comes, you know, and you can't come on a Wednesday morning, you got a doctor's appointment, you were sick or something like that. But if there is enough interest to maintain something like that, we will have a Wednesday morning prayer and or a Wednesday night Bible study. Neither one of those services are open for benevolence things. They are, one is for prayer and one is for Bible study. Okay? But what I've done is I've created a sign-up sheet where you can put your name either, you know, I'm interested in the AM prayer or I'm interested in the PM Bible study, or you can put your name on both if you're interested. I'll put this on the table in the back after our service today. And if we have a minimum of at least 5 people for either or of these, we will start having a Wednesday morning either prayer time or a Wednesday night Bible study. Okay? Hey, is that good news or what? That's something a lot of people have been asking for. And so now we're going to be able to do that. Let me also make this announcement. We got more good news coming out of the bag, okay? The contract with the realtor on our building will be up either in December or January. I can't remember which one it is. But in December or January, the contract with the realtor will be up. When that contract comes up for renewal, we will not be, at this time, we will not be renewing the contract with the realtor. So the for sale sign that is out front will come down. Once the contract is over with, the for sale sign will come down, and we will kind of settle down and see if this is what happens. Now, I want to be very careful here, okay, because I cannot tell you what tomorrow holds, okay? All I can tell you is what my plan is for today, all righty? But if God opens up a door, okay, then I'm going to walk through it. But as long as no doors open, I'm not going to walk through it. Okay, I'm not going to. I remember a guy named Milan Lefevre used to say, if God won't make me a door, I'll build one and walk through it. Well, I don't think that's what we need. I don't think we need to be building any doors. Okay? But if God builds a door and opens it, you know, then I'm gonna walk through it. But we will take our church property off of the multiple listing service and take down the for sale sign and all that kind of thing after our contract is up with her. I will tell you that in the December or January, whichever it is, we will have had this piece of property on the market for a year, and there has been no real interest shown in it whatsoever. I think there's only been two or three groups that have even come and even looked at it. But you all know how real estate works. You go and you look at it, you make an offer. We've not even had an offer to consider from anybody. We've not even had what Michelle and I call an insult offer. Nobody's even came and insulted us with an offer. That's where you come in and they want $10 for it and you offer them $2, you know, and then you try to meet somewhere in the middle. We haven't even had an insult offer. So I take that as a sign from God that we can take it off the market and he wants us to stay where we are. Hey, that's fine with me. I didn't ever care one way or the other. All I want to be is where God wants me to be. That's all I care about. So we'll be taking the church off of the market once the contract comes up for renewal, either in December or in January. Was there anything else you can think of that I had said that I was going to talk about? Okay. I do want to say to you, though, that Mike coming on as an associate is not any kind of, I don't want anybody to walk out of here going, the pastor's leaving, okay? I'm not going anywhere. I consider it an awesome privilege, and that is the right word that I want to use. I consider it an awesome privilege to be here with you on Sundays and to have the opportunity to be able to share God's word. I consider it an awesome privilege to be able to study on your behalf and to seek God's face as to what it is I think that I need to be saying and doing and what kind of direction we need to be going in. And this is not like a secular vocation where, you know, if some 500-member church comes along and says, we want you to come be their pastor, then I'm going to run off somewhere, okay? I had that happen to me when I was in Monroe, and we were down there meeting with 30 and 40 people, and a 500-member church came, and my church freaked out. You know, there's no reason why you wouldn't go there. I said, yeah, there's a really good reason. God said no. I mean, they walked in the door, and God said no, and I said, yes, sir, okay? And everything they offered me after that, guess what the answer was? No. Because my job is to repeat what God said. And God said no. And even they were questioning, you know, we can't believe you got this and we're offering you that and you're turning it down. I said, listen, when God says no, you can't offer me anything. You can't offer me anything. So I'm really privileged to be here. I will even tell you where my mind is going. My mind is already looking for the guy who's coming after me. Okay? And I'm not talking about Mike. I'm talking about people like Levi. Okay, I'm looking that far down. You know, I'm looking at Dylan. I'm looking at Tripp. You know, I don't mean to be calling names because they're, you know, who knows what. I'm talking about a concept here. I'm not talking about people. Okay, we might even be cursed with a woman preacher and it'd be Lydia. You know, I saw you talking, so I thought I'd just bring your name up. She's like, what? Yeah, you might be the pastor here one day yourself. Who knows? That's right. Who knows who God's going to tap on the head next, okay? But she'll be calling me this week going, I want to preach this Sunday. If looks could kill, she'd have killed me, wouldn't she? That's fine. That's fine.
She's just holding her off because he's better.
She's better than I am. That's right. That's right. So, I mean, I don't know who God's going to tap next, but what I'm trying to say to you is I'm not thinking short term. I'm thinking long term. Okay, I'm talking about the generation behind us having a place to come and to worship, to seek God and to experience Him for who He is, and the generation after that is what I'm talking about. Okay, and I want you to know that's where my mind is. I'm not looking for a promotion. You know, I'm not looking for a bigger church. I'm looking for God to be all that God wants to be at 2726 Chesterfield Avenue. Amen. That's all I care about. Okay. Does anyone have any questions or anything else that you want to ask me?
I am just
Thank you. Okay.
By giving us a new number, does that mean you'd rather us call him?
You know, we didn't talk about that. How do you want to do that? No, do whatever you feel that you need to do. Do whatever it is you feel you need to do.
The main purpose is the hours that I'll be here. If you need to call me, because I won't be, that door won't be unlocked while I'm here. But if you want to call me and say, you know, I want to come over and talk to you a minute, or, you know, I was just wondering about something, those hours I'll be available at that number. That doesn't mean I won't answer it if you call after that. But I would say continue doing what you've been doing if you feel the need to talk with Pastor.
And if you're not able to get me, or if we are not able to talk it through as thoroughly as you would like, he at least offers you a face that you can sit down in front of, okay? I'm sorry, go ahead.
And it may be just a thing that I can help remind him of something, or you know, that I can be aware of something that maybe just to help with the memory of it all. Go ahead.
And I was going to say, I want you all to know that the kind of relationship that Mike and I have, when Mike speaks, he speaks for me. Okay, so it's the same thing as if I had said it. If he says it, it's the same thing as if I had said it. Okay, and we have developed over the last 10 years, we have developed that kind of relationship where I have an explicit, in fact, you know, I've shared with you before that before anything like this ever happens, I always talk to my pastor. Okay, and my pastor said to me, "What's your trust level with him?" I said, "Well, there's only two other people in this whole world I trust more." I didn't even know how to say it. How to answer that question, because I didn't know if to say more or the same. So I went with the same. There's only two other people in this world I trust the same as Mike. That's Michelle and John, my pastor. Okay? And so, you know, the trust is not an issue between me and Mike. And we've both been at this, pastorally speaking, long enough to recognize that there will be some people who will endeavor to try to divide us. Okay? Well, God help them. Okay? God help them.
The devil has always had some men around.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Any other questions, comments you want to make? Because what I'm going to do in our finishing today is kind of cap this, and then I want us to anoint Mike and pray over him. Is what I'm wanting to do kind of as a finishing thing. But I want to make sure that all hearts are clear. Okay, yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
I know that you would be, so to speak, code.
Okay, yes.
But does that mean that if I wanted to talk to Mike, it would just be between Mike and me, that I can't have that?
Okay, that's a very good question. Let me say this. You can, and I'm going to answer the question, and then if you feel uncomfortable with my answer, you just tell me. You can say to Mike, "I'd like to have a conversation with you," and it go no further. If he feels that there isn't any need for it to go any further, then I trust him well enough that's not an issue with me. But if you tell him something that he feels needs to go further, it's going to have to go.
And I will tell you that before that conversation's over. And when I became the associate pastor of Evangel Fellowship, I was on staff maybe 3 weeks, and a deacon in the church came to me and said, "We're so glad you're here, because now we've got somebody who can tell us what pastor's doing." And I went straight to the pastor and I said, "This is what I was just told." And he said, "I'll take care of it from there." 3 weeks later, the deacon came to me and said, "I'll never tell you anything again." I said, "Thank you. Because I'm not playing that game."
Right, we're not going to play games.
I'm not going to play that game.
We're not going to play games.
If you have a problem with him, go to him.
Mm-hmm.
Don't come to me. Go to him. Because I won't have a problem with him. I won't. I understand spiritual authority. And I understand, even if I disagreed with him, or if I thought he was extremely wrong, that God is bigger than he is. And God will either show me I'm wrong, or God will show him if I pray. And so I feel this way. I wrote this down on my notes here. I feel this way about elders, and I feel this way about associates, is we are a representation of the pastor to the people, not the people to the pastor. And that's important to understand, because the vision, it's really, we're a representation of the vision to the people, not the people to the vision. Because what we represent is the vision that God's placed in him. And y'all, this is monumental in the life of this church. To have in your hands what the visionary has spoken, and to be able to go from this day forward and say, well, what's Lamplight Church all about? I've got a piece of paper that's got it written on it. Or I've got a CD, and I told him this morning, or was it yesterday? I said, "What we all
this morning
is make copies of the CD, and if we have visitors, give them a copy of this CD, because it says to you, this is where we are, this is who we are. We're going to love God, love each other, and have fun doing it, and that's exactly what we're going to be as a church. And then one other thing I want to say, and then I'll be quiet. I never dreamed that I would hear those words said, and I didn't know it would have the effect on me that it did when he said that. That you know, as of today, that I am an associate pastor. When you've been through what I've been through in the last 10 years, there are times when you feel like your vision is gone. And I don't have to be a senior pastor. I don't have to be an on-staff pastor. I do know that God placed a gift on the inside of me, and I submit my gift to this gift. And to the gift that's above of him, and I consider it a major privilege to be here, and you don't know what this means to me and to my mama, and that this is happening for me, and I want to say this: when Pastor was talking about when we come in here and we do the welcome announcements, and the welcome thing comes on, if we could all get this in our minds, is when we hear the welcome video start, it's time for us to put on our garment of praise. And have that garment of praise on through the welcome video, through the announcements, through whatever. And when we get time that the words hit there on that roof, on that wall, and we're beginning to sing and worship, that we're not moved by anything, but we've got on our garment of praise. And we're gonna be an example unto we've got an audience of one, and we're gonna be before him what he's looking for. And if we'll do that, all the rest of this will fall in place. Just put on the garment of praise. And the spirit of heaviness will go. You have to put it on sometimes. Sometimes I come in here, and the last thing I feel like doing is worshiping. But I put on my garment of praise, and I tell my body, you're going to praise whether you feel like it or not. I tell my mind, you better be quiet because I'm not listening to you. I'm going to put on my garment of praise. And I'm going to step it. And I praise God with my worship, with my tithes and offerings too. I put my hand on my money, and I say, I thank you, Father, that you have given to me abundantly, and I can give back to you. And because I do, it's blessed. So I worship you with my giving. Put on that garment of praise when the welcome video. Well, actually, put it on before you get up and before you get out of bed in the morning.
Before you get out of the car in the parking lot.
But especially in the service, put it on during the welcome video.
That was nicer. He said that than I said. Yeah, wasn't that just great? How nice he said that.
I was thinking a minute ago when they said, you know, do we want? When he said he represents you, or you said he represents me, and I went in a nicer way.
Yeah, in a nicer way. Yes, yeah. Yes. Yes, ma'am.
I was people that were here before you took over to understand this, but you and my
kind of represent you and Daddy.
Yeah.
Because I'm natured a lot like my mother, and Mike's natured exactly like Daddy. Yeah, he was a nice one. Yeah. But now, in response to this, guys, we do need, though, to grow numerically. You know, we need to grow. We need to be reaching out. And I'm hoping that taking the church off of the market will help bring about some stability. Okay. I don't think, and I'm just going to be brutally honest with you here, there have been some times when our worship I found embarrassing, okay? And I don't think we need to be embarrassed by what we're currently doing as far as our worship goes. I think I've got like, it's written down on a piece of paper over there, either 8 or 12 of these things, and they cost about $40 for each little segment. They cost about $40. So if we get a little more money, you know, Mike can do another two or three to kind of, you know, bring some new songs in and that kind of thing. But you know, this is a place where I believe that God is honored. And I would like for all of us to become much more evangelical and evangelistic in our outreach to friends and family and neighbors. And no matter what kind of situation people find their lives in, this is a place where those people will be accepted and loved and respected as those that Jesus gave his life for. And so that's, and I want you to know that moving forward, now that we've got something in writing, that every decision made will be made based on these three things right here. How does this help us move forward with loving God? How does this help us move forward with loving one another? And how does this help us move forward with enjoying God and enjoying one another? That's what this thing will do. And you did say to me when we were talking this morning that if you got an opportunity to speak, that there was something you wanted to say. If you remember what that was, I'll give you an opportunity to do that now if you want to.
I'm not sure I remember exactly what it was, but I did have this that just came to me. In the last 3 weeks, I've had an amazing amount of people come to me in the Monroe area saying to me, "We're leaving our church. We don't know where to go." And I have said, "I know where you belong." That's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Mm-hmm, it will be.
But you see, if we brought them into a place of confusion, they wouldn't stay.
Right.
But if we're all looking toward the same thing,
we're working together,
we're going to see some people come, y'all. I'm staying in Shelby this week, and I'm running into people in Shelby that need a church. Everywhere I go, I run into people that need a church. And if I have to buy me a bus, I'll buy me a bus, and we'll go get them, whatever it takes. But people are going to start coming. There's no doubt in my mind. This is a step of faith. When you take a step of faith above where you are financially, that's when you watch God, see God do some awesome things. So there's no doubt in my mind we're going to see God do some things quickly. Eventually, one day, we'll have a full-time pastor and a full-time associate pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll go from there. But just be ready and have anticipation. Have excitement in your spirit. Get it all week. Tomorrow morning, wake up on Monday morning and say, "I can't wait for Sunday."
Right. Right.
Be anticipating. Be excited. Because God's going to do it.
Yep.
We're going to see it like never before.
Yep. And I will declare once again, there will come a day when our eyes will be open and God will be standing right in front of us. And you will see him for all that he is. Like Moses experienced him in the tabernacle, mm-hmm. you will experience him in the identical same way. I'm not so sure, but what he wasn't Jesus talking to... I'm having a senior moment. Who lived outside of Sodom and Gomorrah and had the three visitors?
What?
Abraham. Abraham had three visitors that I'm not real sure those visitors were not the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who showed up to talk to Abraham in physical form to say to him, "Let's have a discussion about Sodom and Gomorrah." Okay, I believe that God can manifest himself in a lot of ways, and I have seen a lot of manifestations of God. But what I want to see is I want to see him for who he is, high and lifted up. And I think that we have lived for a long time saying, one day I'm going to see God. Now then I'm asking the question, why not today? Mm-hmm. Why is it that I can step across on the other side and see God? Why can't God step across on this side and let me see him?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I'm not saying anything that he hasn't done before.
That's right.
And so the question I have to ask myself is if he's done it before, do I not have the right to believe that he can and will do it again? And I believe that I have the right to ask him to do it again because he's done it before, and that's what I'm looking for. Yes?
It may not mean anything to anybody else, but this is very exciting to me. When I was about 5 or 6 years old living in Massachusetts and going to a Presbyterian church, I learned the Lamplight
verse.
Mm-hmm.
And
we've raised 6 children in this church, and I'm thankful so much for that. They aren't all doing exactly what I'd like them to do, but they've got the background.
Yes.
So that they're not going to get caught into some of the things that...
that they could have.
And we were out here helping clear the land and stuff with our kids.
Mm-hmm.
And my son tried to chop my toe off, but he didn't mean to. Those kinds of things. I'm thankful that we're going to continue with what we have.
Amen.
And make it
And make it more. And make it more. Yes. So what I'm asking is, in synopsis, you know, let's wake up in the morning with an anticipation. You know, I can't believe it's Monday. I wish it was Sunday. On Sundays, let's be here on time. Let's be ready to enter in. And let's be a part of what it is God's doing. Let's all move together in the same direction. Okay? Any other questions? I'm going to ask my wife.
I've been sitting here trying to decide if I should say this. And when I started, it's not what you said, you just tell me.
Okay.
When Don took his dad's place, he couldn't take his place.
Right.
I really felt like that was some new blood and young blood, that we were going to see some things happen. And then talk was started about the location and a lot of different things. And I was remembering back to the day of the 80s when we walked on this land and walked it and felt like it was ours. And against all odds, it became ours. And we have always had the sense, and both of us have it. I know God is obligated to talk to him, but he also talks to me. He doesn't tell me everything he tells him. But he told both of us, we had in our spirits, that there were going to be some things that happened here that we hadn't seen yet. And then when the change came and we started talking about leaving here, we were just sick at heart because we could not shake the feeling that God had not finished. And I don't know that I prayed against the sale. Mostly what I said was, God, you know what you want, just have it.
That's right.
That's really the way I prayed. And we could not shake the feeling we were supposed to stay, nor did we have a lot of anxiousness about it on sale. I never thought it would. I didn't think God was through. So I feel excited now because I feel like we're back on track. And I especially feel excited that we have Mike for some counseling and some other things like that, because you can't keep up with it anymore. Not to stay sane.
She thought I was sane. Yeah. You thought I was.
Inside, but on the inside, the Lord's got my spirit going crazy because I feel like we have had a load lifted off of us, and now heaven is the only limit we have. And so I don't know how it'll turn out.
Right.
And I know I'm excited and real.
Me too.
Yes. And I don't think it could be all that wrong with so many of us
leaving. I really appreciate y'all starting this thing about this Bible study on Wednesday, because me and my wife, we were really doing it, like in our little room every morning and every evening. But it makes a more difference when you're doing it collectively and get more insight of what's going
on. There she is.
And I know with Pastor Mike, there's just some which that was kind of like on my. Yeah. And then he wasn't here and you was doing your thing and he wasn't here though. Ain't back, it's just something just hit me, you know what I'm saying? Like, something gonna happen for him today. I don't know what it is, but something gonna happen for him today, you know what I'm saying? And I really appreciate this, and especially the thing about the Monday and the Wednesday. Sometimes I be needing support too. I be needing people I need to call, like mentor or something. I need somebody to call and say, man, you know, how do I do this? You know, I'm caught up over here with this and this going on with me. And you know, that'll help me out.
I'm going to ask my wife if she'll come. And then the elders, if you'll join me, and then Pastor Jim and Miss B, if you'll anoint in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit of God. I will say to you, church, that I appreciate the love that you demonstrate towards me. And oh, and I'm sorry, and all the rest of you, you can come gather around now if you want to. Sorry. I appreciate the love that you demonstrate towards me and that I know that you have for me. I'm just going to ask you, if you would, to open up your heart just a little bigger and love Mike too. And you'll find him to be a real man of God with a heart for God, who will give you in his counseling and in his advice to you, you'll hear God speak to you. God, I thank you for one who comes along the side to help. I thank you, oh God, that 10 years ago when we met, we had no idea we'd be where we are today. But that you've held our hands, you've kept us together, and that you have brought us to such a time and such a place as this. And we thank you, Father, for your love for Lamplight Church and for bringing us this gift of your son, Mike Whited. And so today, we acknowledge your call on his life to serve here. And to your call, O God, we say amen.
Amen.
And whatever it is you want to do, we say amen to it.
Amen.
And we thank you that what is settled in earth, settled in heaven.
Yes.
What is loosed on earth, loosed in heaven.
Amen.
You have your will,
amen,
your way in this place.
Yes.
Amen.
There's a part of me, God, that's excited about what you want to do. There's a part of me, God, that is scared to death about what you want to do. And all that's just fine with me.
Yes.
You do what you want to do. Because you are God.
Mm-hmm.
And you are God.
Yes.
We bless you today.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.